Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Carter's has your family covered for every summer first. First steps, first swim lesson, or first sleepover. Our clothes help kids and parents have their best summer ever, thanks to comfy design and easy dressing details. Generations of families have trusted our must-haves for babies, toddlers, and kids, designed to shine season after season. Visit carters.com to shop the latest styles or find a Carter's store near you.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Big one that you mentioned earlier, coming up shortly after that, the national televised game, Denver and Milwaukee. That's the only nationally televised game tonight. Minnesota and LA is on NBA TV, but TNT, they got Denver and Milwaukee, and that's the one tonight. Jokic and Giannis.
And, speaking about that only nationally televised game, first of all, did you see we lost the national TV game? The Kings got...
Honestly, I have paid less than zero attention to the Kings national. The first one that they had snuck up on us.
Yeah.
Or snuck up on me, at least.
They got 86 out of one. They said,
what game was it?
Clippers game on March 9th.
Okay.
Got them out of the paint. But they still completely on TNT forgot. Like 2 days later.
I'm not even blaming that on us. I'm blaming that on the Clippers. Even though the Clippers are perfectly fine.
I think they changed it with like Cleveland and Milwaukee, I think it is. They're now the...
Oh, well, okay, I understand that.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, I completely understand.
But yeah, we're getting to the point where the NBA gonna, and hopefully this won't happen with the new TV deal. I'm about to be afraid of college basketball now. And we're gonna get, I think it's like a week or 2 weeks where we don't get like TNT games. On Thursday.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Championship week starts next week, so I think they still play then. But once the tournament starts for 2 weeks, they don't do nothing.
Is that being afraid or being respectful?
It could be a little bit respectful.
Because they're partners.
It could be like how we talked about a couple weeks ago, like in a way working together here. Like this is our future.
Yeah.
Let's make sure they have a full platform.
I think the NBA is only afraid of one thing.
Yeah. And that should end next year.
It should. I don't know
Amazon,
that it will.
Amazon is Thursday, though, right? Or no, it starts
Amazon
afterwards.
Is Thursday after.
Yeah, it starts afterwards. Damn, who would get the game? I don't know. I think they still are afraid.
Wait, is Amazon Thursday after the
Yeah, because the they season? Can't go on the
Yeah, same. Right, yeah. right. But they have Amazon has other games throughout the year, though, just not the Thursday.
I think they're Friday.
Okay.
I think they're Friday nights, Amazon.
Yeah, this new deal is going to take some time to learn.
It is. Because it's NBC, ESPN, and Amazon. Yeah. Damn.
And like somewhere out of nowhere, we found more football games for Netflix. we just found them.
To the original point, yeah, I think you only get one. I think the Lakers will beat Minnesota. That's what I'm putting.
Lakers beat Minnesota. Okay. All right.
But the Kings had a nice little night last night.
They did. And it was important because this trip is going to get tougher. Like, they've got Houston coming up. That's on Saturday. Then they're going to go every other day with Houston, Dallas, Denver. Then they're back at the Golden 1 Center to take on the San Antonio Spurs. And that game, I know that's the De'Aaron Fox game, but that game sure does look different than it did, you know, when we first looked at the schedule the day of the trade. San Antonio is struggling. Obviously, there was news that Greg Popovich addressed the players today in person for the first time Spurs went so far as to release a statement announcing what has been reported, I think about a week or 2 weeks ago, maybe it might have been longer than that, from Shams Charania, that Pop won't return to the sidelines this year. And his future as the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs is very much in question. We think his career is likely over. Of course, that is just us speculating. Yeah. All we're really concerned about is Greg Popovich's health. But that game doesn't feel the same anymore. It's De'Aaron's return. There'll be an emotional component to it. But San Antonio's starting to look like a bad basketball team. Mm. They're starting to look like a team where it's like, oh, you're not competing with them for the play-in. They're a bad team that you need to beat.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to do that. You don't have a lot of bad teams on your schedule moving forward. They're kind of lining up to be one of those teams that you got to beat. And that Dallas game coming up on Monday.
Yeah, man.
Feels like a big deal. You talk about tying in the loss column. If the Lakers get that win tonight, and you know, James was telling us yesterday, we're kind of getting to the point where you don't really look at the win-loss categories anymore because the games aren't even. You just look at the loss category. Mm-hmm. And we could be pulled. I mean, this thing is as close as it could possibly be in the loss column.
As crazy as this season has been for the Kings, they're two games in the loss column away from the sixth seed.
And that's 26 where the Clippers are. 27 losses is where Minnesota and Golden State are. Mm-hmm. Dallas and Sacramento are at 28 losses apiece.
Yeah. Yeah, and I, they're right there, man. They're right there, and I know the schedule gets tougher, and you got to play some tough teams. But that's just what it is. Like I'm a full believer and proponent. I wish we had the Warriors schedule, but we don't. But I'm a full believer in some. You're gonna have to play these teams regardless. So
yeah,
if you can't beat them, on this schedule that you have, how you expect to do anything in the playoffs or playing? So beat them. Go out there and beat them. Prove it.
People keep talking about the Warriors schedule. I know there's strength of schedule, all this. They got Orlando tonight. Or Orlando.
This road trip is kind of trash.
Philly, which.
I think the only good game is.
That game is on ABC, by the way. The Golden State Warriors, which is fine, versus the Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh. Gosh.
A 20-win basketball team, man, that's on ABC.
That's after Philly was on national TV last night.
Gross.
And then they opened up the second half of the season.
They did. Yep.
This is getting egregious.
Losing by 30.
And they take the Kings off.
They got Charlotte. They got your New York Knicks on March 4th.
Come on, guys.
Brooklyn.
They'll play hard.
Then they host Detroit, Portland, Sacramento, New York, Denver, and Milwaukee.
That homestand.
Well, Jesus,
crazy.
And Toronto, but that's a lot of. That's how many games in a row is that?
Seven game homestand.
It's a seven game homestand.
That homestand kind of.
This
sneaky.
Has got to even out somewhere. There it is. I was like, where are the road games? Here they are: at Atlanta, at Miami, at New Orleans, at San Antonio, at Memphis, at the Lakers.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. That homestand's tough.
Yeah, that homestand is a little tough.
Detroit, Portland's fighting.
That. Yeah.
You are fighting with Sacramento. That's a nationally televised game.
Taking a bus to that one, guys.
Okay. Enjoy. Yeah, right. You're getting on a bus. Then they got the Knicks. And then Denver.
Jesse, what do you
and
think
then
about
the Bucks?
Jesse, what do you think about that Knicks Warriors game?
Yawn.
What's the Warriors record? Oh, it's four games above 500.
Oh, Knicks have no chance, man. No chance. If you're a good team playing good basketball, you're going to beat the New York Knicks.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, man, stop taking shots at my boys, man. Come on,
I'm telling the truth.
Don't do that.
I'm telling the truth.
You're not wrong, though. Not wrong, but yeah,
I don't think the Warriors' schedule is what everyone's making it out to be. And I'm looking at the teams and not using numbers with this. Like
that homestand is
that's tough. That's a tough stretch that Sacramento is involved in.
Mm-hmm.
The crazy thing is, well, it's not crazy. They play Portland on the Monday, March 10th. They don't play the Kings until Thursday.
Of course, the Kings, the new 49ers. Everybody gets rest before they play them.
I'm afraid to look, but something's like, yeah, that's the second night of a back-to-back for the Kings. No, It's the first night of a back-to-back.
No, that's great. Great.
They play on the 14th.
I'm about to say they play on Tuesday.
They
huh?
play. No, they put. Yeah, they do. No, they play the Knicks
on the Monday.
On Monday, then they're off Tuesday and Wednesday, so it's not that bad. Yeah. But then they're in San Francisco on Thursday. Then they're in Phoenix on Friday.
Good. We got to get on a plane. This is great. No, this is great.
Two. Oh, those are two kind of big games.
Yeah.
Golden State on Thursday, and then the Suns on Friday. The league really does hate Sacramento. They really do. That's hilarious. Oh, where's LeBron James? This is insane.
Right.
This
to your
is
point
insane.
About the strength of schedule, Montankathon, the Warriors are at 20th for their strength of schedule. And they go by win percentage left. That's what.
But it changes by the day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
The Kings are second. The Kings have a game against the Wizards, the Hornets, the Bulls, the Spurs, the Blazers, and two against the Suns left.
Mm-hmm.
The Warriors
get the two against the Suns.
Have one against the Hornets, the Pelicans, the Raptors, the Sixers, the Nets, and two against the Spurs. Yeah, that's the Warriors.
To kind of
what you were saying, like for them to be like that drastic, like 2-20, and once again another just doing the winning percentage left, it does seem like they have an even amount of easy games left and all this stuff.
Yeah, it's just our killer is the 17th to the 25th.
Yeah, well,
that's the killer. Go ahead. Sorry,
I was gonna say even more to that, they got two against the Cavs. The Kings too.
They do, right? They
That's
have
tough.
Yeah, and one of them is in that stretch. They have the Memphis on the 17th, and this is the stretch we've been talking about for weeks. Cleveland, Chicago, Milwaukee, Boston, Oklahoma City. Those final three are 3 and 4 nights. The homestand ends with Portland on Thursday, the 27th. Then they get on the road for winnable games. There's Orlando. There's Indiana. You mentioned the Washington, Charlotte again, and then that game at Cleveland. That game at Detroit, and then they close out with three at home. Denver, the Clippers, which you survive all of this. Mm-hmm. You got the Clippers right there.
Clippers with the fifth hardest schedule as well.
And then you got Phoenix.
Mm. Who has the...
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Carter's has your family covered for every summer first. First steps, first swim lesson, or first sleepover. Our clothes help kids and parents have their best summer ever, thanks to comfy design and easy dressing details. Generations of families have trusted our must-haves for babies, toddlers, and kids, designed to shine season after season. Visit Carter's.com to shop the latest styles or find a Carter's store near you.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
First hardest schedule.
Really?
Yeah. They've got two with Boston. It's not that far away. It's not that far away from the Kings when you talk about the toughest opponents, but the easiest opponents is the killer. They've got two against New Orleans, one against Toronto, one against the Bulls, and one against the Spurs, and that's it. Everything else is...
2, 3, 4, 5, 6 nationally televised games left.
For Phoenix?
Yep. Including 2 ABC games.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Dump this. Phoenix at Dallas? Bro, what?
Oh, my goodness.
We'll come back. There are two things we are going to discuss. Cookies and the Pistons. The cookies are a basketball story. Stilo and Casey on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, this show is a mess. That was wild. I can't even front. That was crazy.
It's out there on the internet.
I know we definitely talking cookies, talking Detroit. But real quick, did you see what was going on with Cameron and Ocho Cinco?
Now it's kind of getting it's too much now.
My boys need to work it out.
Cameron, well, now we're going to get an answer back from Cameron.
You know that.
He said it on the show today, I think.
Oh, he said he's about to, like, tomorrow?
Yeah, because their host was...
Oh, don't go at a rapper.
Well, they already did. Cameron took a shot at him first, and then Ocho. Yeah. Ocho's wasn't even that bad, to be honest.
He didn't even go at him. He just was he stood his ground like Ian Rappaport or something like that.
Well, I hope not. Not based on the clip I just saw on Twitter.
Their host was really instigating today.
Yeah, stat baby.
Picking things that Ocho says. Like, yeah, he said that. But he also said, like, this, and that, too, where it wasn't, like, really – it wasn't hate, like you said.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But, yeah, that answer back will be coming.
Oh, come on, Cam. Hey, Cam, come on, man. Cam is my boy, man. Like, stop beefing.
So – wait, what did Ocho Cinco do?
So
is his name still Ocho Cinco?
He's Chad Johnson.
Yeah, okay. I thought so too. Okay.
He had said something had happened, and Cam like addressed it. He was like, "Yeah, you used to say you was coming from my spot and all this other stuff, and you know, then we tried to get you on to the show, and you told me talk to your agent, and I'm trying to deal directly with you, and then he just said, I just don't like you. I don't like you, dog. Simple as that. I don't like you." And then Chad responded. Chad was like, "Yo, I don't have no problem with you. Like, I said I wanted to take your spot because I looked at you as like the bar. Like, it was a sign of respect. It wasn't I'm trying to get at you." And he's like, I got love, man. I don't come in here hating on nobody. Like, it's all good." He said, "But if you really want to see me, like, I'm not hard to find. Like, we can do whatever you want to do." Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh man, come on, man, come on." I'll chill out, man.
You know who needs to chill out is your boy Riles.
Well, that is my boy. That's my boy.
Dwayne Wade told a story on, I think it was an Underdog podcast.
Yeah.
About the moment he knew that the Heatles might be coming to an end. The moment he knew that LeBron James might leave Miami. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay. I let's go. Mm-hmm. And he tells this story about, you know, LeBron, you know, notoriously meticulous about his body, his health, his diet, all of this stuff during the season. And Dwayne said every trip is exactly the same. LeBron gets on the plane with a bag of his food because he doesn't eat what the plane makes, which is wild because I feel like they would make what they told LeBron to do. But his chef makes it, like LeBron's chef makes it, and then he gets on the plane with his bag of cookies. As someone who eats cookies every single night, I can relate. I can relate to LeBron James, Jesse. I'm a lot like the king.
Finally comes out. I'm
like the king.
So Dwayne's telling this story, and I guess it gets to a point where they get on a road trip, they're playing cards, or they're playing some game, and, you know, Bron asked the flight attendant, like, "Hey, can I get my bag of cookies?" And he's like, "Hey, like, where are my cookies?" And the flight attendant has to come over to him and said, I'm sorry, we're not allowed cookies on this flight anymore." And Dwayne Wade explains that was a directive from your boy, Pat Riley. And then you know, this might be peak Dwayne Wade storytelling. He says LeBron pushes the table back and sits back in his chair. And I thought, man, did we just lose our dynasty because of cookies? He said that was the first time I thought LeBron James was going to leave because they took the man's cookies away. And then he goes on to talk about Pat Riley. And he was like, man, we had been to the finals. Like, Riles was micromanaging us too much. And now you see, you know, what happened with Jimmy Butler and all of this. And it's like, He really took the greatest player of all time's cookies away.
Mm, that's crazy.
The man's cookies.
That was so uncalled for.
Did they say cookies weren't allowed, or did Riles eat the cookies?
No, I don't think. No,
I must have made that up when I was watching the clip.
No, I thought I saw that. I thought I heard D-Wade say that too.
Riles ate the cookies.
Yeah, no, I thought he said he ate the cookies. I'm gonna watch the clip back.
Yeah, watch the clip back because I don't think that's what happened.
I think the caption might have said that, and maybe D-Wade said something different.
Someone said to him, "No, someone told him no more cookies on the flight."
Mm-hmm. Either way, that's ridiculous. I mean.
Well, one is like a joke. Like if okay, you ate my cookies. Okay, okay, that's funny. Don't do it again. But like, okay, ha ha ha. The other one is, yo, your routine doesn't work for us anymore. Yeah. We think the cookies might be hampering our win loss.
That's aggressive
category or whatever, and
that's an aggressive shot right there. Pat Riley, I understand the Jimmy Butler one. I don't understand this.
LeBron, man, there's this book Winhurst wrote about it's LeBron, but it's LeBron like in a business sense. I can't remember the exact name of it. It's on my Audible. I'll find it. It's really good, but it's about like, it's not like the trajectory of LeBron James, the basketball player, is more like the trajectory of LeBron James, the businessman. Mm-hmm. And I think it's in this book. Go ahead, Jesse.
You're right, by the way.
I thought so.
Yeah, it's Mandela effect or something. I could have swore Dwayne Wade said Pat Riley ate the cookies. Like, I was looking forward to all day talking about Pat Riley ate the cookies.
Yeah. No, it really is a Mandela.
Yeah, like I literally just watched the video back three different times, like that specific spot. Yeah, Dame's right.
Did somebody put that in a caption?
I don't think so, no.
Because...
No, I thought I heard him say he ate the cookies.
I saw the same thing. And he didn't say it at all. That's hilarious.
I don't know what y'all are watching. I mean, that's I would have found the story of Pat Riley eating the cookies funny, especially if LeBron maybe overreacted to him. But saying you're not allowed cookies on the flight anymore.
No, that's aggressive.
Is crazy. And so Winhurst wrote the book, and... I think it's in this book where Winhurst says that when LeBron, it could have been an article. I could be mixing things up, but at some point when LeBron called Pat Riley to tell him he was leaving Miami, Riles said something that upset LeBron in a way no one else ever has. And I can't remember what it was. Like, and I don't even know that it's ever been revealed what it was. But I remember that line specifically, that Pat Riley pissed off LeBron James in a way that no one ever has before when he said he was leaving Miami. Now, publicly, Riles said, oh, you don't leave when things get hard. He said that after the finals loss. And it was very clear who he was directing that to. And it's like, man, like I get Pat's pretty... Pat's really respected, as he should be. But what's Riles, seriously, what's the discussion of Pat Riley? Go ahead, Jesse.
I'll ask you a question because I think I have an answer for it after.
Real quick, I think where we got crossed up, Jesse, and I kept seeing this, is one of the captions says, D-Wade says LeBron was pissed when Pat Riley took his cookies.
Okay, that might have been it.
So,
okay.
Like, we're looking at that as like
No, he took them away.
Yeah, right.
He took them away.
No, I ask you a question. Yeah.
What's Pat Riley without LeBron James?
I think he's still the same.
Yeah. I do not think that's true at all.
We got
I
to the.
He, I don't. He. So he.
Three finals with three different franchises. He's won.
That's as a coach.
Well, he got back.
I'm talking about the executive.
He got back with Jimmy.
With Miami.
Yeah, he got back.
So that's
with Jimmy.
The one where he. Let's tell the whole story.
And he was the coach there.
Story, Doc. Yeah, he was the coach.
I mean, okay.
And why was he the coach?
Because he. Got
he
Van
threw
Gundy.
Stan Van Gundy to the curb.
He proved to be right.
And why did he throw Stan Van Gundy to the curb? Because he thought the team was good. Mm. They were able to get Shaq. He was like, hey, we got something here. Mm. Oh, I can add to my legacy. Mm. Without LeBron, that's his one. Not saying he's a bad executive. yeah. or anything along those lines. He has a history. He has, I mean, he's, you talk about been to finals. He's won finals. Mm-hmm. He's coached Magic. You know, built that Knicks style of play in the 90s. Then did the same thing with the Miami Heat.
Mm-hmm. He basically built that organization.
Helped the Heat win a title.
Because, I mean, he was there with Hardaway and Mourning.
Yeah.
Like, he built
absolutely.
That organization.
Absolutely. And then that would be it. The executive part of Pat Riley, I think the conversation's different.
I think he's I mean, it's all hypotheticals. I think he still buils teams that get back to the finals. Like, he has him getting two titles.
Let's go with that. He has two championships, two finals appearances with LeBron, Bosh, and that whole crew that goes there. Mm-hmm. Is that team in the same position to build those post finals teams, those post LeBron finals teams, without LeBron going there?
Hmm.
Of course, you can't answer that.
Well,
it's all a hypothetical. It's all, hey, Pat, calm your ass down. These players have made you stars.
I think
a star. These players have made you a star.
What were the Heat once the big three was done?
They were middling at best.
Yeah, but not very long.
They tried.
Mm. Well, but Chris Bosh had to retire.
Yeah.
And he signed Jimmy as a free agent, right?
Yeah, he stole Jimmy from Philly. I think he's certified.
Yeah, I think so too.
Without LeBron James, you still think he's certified as an executive?
I think he figures out a way still to get it done.
I think he does. And I could be biased because, you know, I like Pat Riley. But, I think he's certified and verified.
Stephen Brent didn't build the Lakers, bro. Jerry West did that. He coached the Lakers. He ain't build the Lakers. He ain't even build the Lakeshore or the style of play. Someone else did that.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, like, again, I'm not taking away from Pat Riley, the coach. I'm not even talking about Pat Riley, the coach. I'm talking about Pat Riley, the executive.
Now, how much?
Because we talk about how things. I'm sorry. Talk about how things end bad with Jimmy. It feels like a lot of stuff ends bad with Pat Riley, too. Remember, Dwayne Wade played in Chicago and Cleveland. LeBron James left. Jimmy Butler went through what he just went through.
Pat a little cutthroat. Not a LeBron thing, I don't know, but Pat a little cutthroat.
Pat was right, though, with this Jimmy stuff, because that just stems from Jimmy and Pat not wanting to pay Jimmy like that contract extension and Jimmy throwing a fit.
And I'm sure...
That's not my point, Jesse.
I'm sure D. Wade wanted that same type of thing. He's like, bro, you're kind of finished out here. And you went 40 mil, whatever the max was at that time. Like, I can't give you that. And then D-Wade probably be like, Kobe's getting it or something. Like, you're not Kobe. You're not Kobe.
Yeah, but I am.
But you aren't.
But I am. I won you a championship.
You did.
I won you three. But I won you a championship.
You won me one.
That's fine.
Why are we doing this, D-Wade? Why are you saying you won me three? You won me
Dwayne,
one.
Because you just paid Hassan Whiteside $100 million.
Hassan Whiteside is not 35, Dwayne.
Pat. Yes.
What you want me
to... What are you, Kenny Caraway? What was there, a bidding war?
What you want me to do? You want me to give you $40 million a year?
Yes.
And okay. Yep. All right, look.
Yep. And I'll retire.
Look, D-Wade. You go prove me wrong. Go ahead. You go to Chicago. Go to Cleveland and prove me wrong. Go ball out. Make me look like a fool.
Does giving D-Wade that money hinder you as far as building the team going forward?
Probably.
No. Because that team, Dwayne Wade's final year, like, no. What's to stop you from doing?
What was his final year, D-Wade?
Dwayne Wade's last year in the league was Dwayne Johnson, KC's boy. Dwayne Wade's last year in the league was 2018-19.
When they got
played
Jimmy,
72 games that year.
Didn't they get Jimmy like 17-18?
Right around there, right after.
So you might not have been able to do that.
I think Pat Riley's vindicated.
Vindicated.
Who else was on that basketball team?
Jimmy went to Miami 19-20. 1920.
Hold up. Uh-oh. Y'all want to do this?
Let's do it.
No.
What are we doing?
I've been ready.
We gotta hurry this one up, though, because I got to cut running back.
Okay.
All right.
Hassan Whiteside. the former number 33 overall pick in the draft. 33! 10 years in the league. Drafted by you know who? The Sacramento Kings. 10 years in the league for Hassan Whiteside that ended with the Sacramento Kings in 2020. His peak earnings were $25.4 million paid by your boy.
Shout out to him, the legend.
Pat Riley. That was in the 2018 season. $25.4 million. That was his peak. The former number 33 overall pick in the NBA draft, drafted by your Sacramento Kings. 10 years in the league. Career earnings for Hassan Whiteside is what?
Yes, sir. He ain't even, hold on, putting it down. He ain't even writing one yet.
He's multitasking.
I've got, all my whiteboards are done, by the way. I need, pieces of paper. Oh, yeah.
Give me the pick.
KC says 123 million. Jesse says 103 million.
He made peanuts those first
years. He only made $3 million over the other 4 years of his career?
They signed him out the YMCA, bro. He made peanuts to start.
He made a million with the Kings. Give me that win.
And Jesse's right.
Wait, what?
Off by barely 700,000. $102.3 million Hassan Whiteside's career earnings.
Go ahead, talk to
the
people.
All of that was paid by your boy, Pat Riley. Yeah. That was the whole point in that. Don't pay Dwayne Wade. Pay Hassan Whiteside his career earnings.
How'd Dwayne Wade do it at the end of that career?
Dwayne Wade is just fine. He finished his career with the Miami Heat. Yeah,
I'd love to stick around, but that
tells you right there that it
doesn't. Go ahead, Jesse. I would love to stick around and boast about my win, but I won't do that. So, Dame, go ahead and just read the records, I guess.
No, it is 6-2 right now. But the funniest part about this is how I had to scratch Kyle out because Kyle just quit pocket watching. Just walked out of the league. It is 6-2 right now. Of course, no one is moved by this based on what happened at the last WrestleMania.
It's nothing. You know what I'm saying? Your boy, I think a 12 out of 13 win streak is.
Well, we do know that Kenny Carey was juicing last year.
I was not juicing.
Yeah. Well, last year, he tried to juice this year.
I would never.
He got caught with the needle in his arm.
Hold on, Jose in the chat. This PWL season is wrapped. Chill out, bro. Chill out. Chill out. Relax. Not yet. Not yet. We're going game by game here.
Want to know every week. I understand it. Now, I don't understand the LeBron thing. Now, I want to ask you this about LeBron. And I like LeBron. LeBron, my dude.
You're about to crap all over him. That is the truest sign that you are going to crap.
This is my guy right here.
That's my guy.
Yeah.
You think LeBron is difficult to deal with?
Yes. Yeah. Probably.
Any megastar like that has to be.
Yeah. I think there's a good chance.
I'm not saying it like he's a bad guy.
No. I know what
difficult.
You mean. I think LeBron. I think a couple of things happen with guys like LeBron. One, he is, you can argue whether he's the greatest of all time. He's the greatest of his generation, and it's not close, right? He is, he's not just like a freak athlete. He's super smart. He's super sharp. He, and Jerry West and all of the guys who, you know, all of the stuff that we talk about, like as he's getting drafted, all of that stuff, like about him seeing the court and his basketball IQ, like all of the stuff that they said about it was all real. Mm-hmm. Like he's probably the smartest basketball mind in 98% of the rooms that he's in. That includes players, coaches, maybe executives, owners, reporters. It includes everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think he's gotten to the point where he recognizes that. So I think when you get into that space, you do become hard to deal with.
Well, when you're running a team, too, and you bring in LeBron, like, the other 11 players on that roster don't really matter.
They don't matter as much.
Like, everything else is, like, kind of you're going to kind of cater towards LeBron and building your team. Like, everything is about LeBron at that point, too. So I figure that's kind of difficult as well.
And
just that what comes with it.
Let me shoot Pat Riley a little bell right here, because you had the theory that Pat Riley took over for Stan Van Gundy because he saw an opportunity with Shaq and them. Mm-hmm. I think he took over for Stan Van Gundy because he didn't think he can get the job done. And the reason why I say it wasn't a legacy move is the urban legend is LeBron tried to get Spo out of there and told Pat to go coach.
Can you pull that card again?
If you're ruthless like Pat is, you don't care. Man, Pat told him, I'm not doing
it. He's also like 10 years removed.
Fair.
Well,
fair.
So that's wrong.
It was like 8, 9, 10 years.
Yeah, but it's like 10 years removed, 10, maybe even 12 years from being like a full-time coach. He comes back and he does the championship year. And I think the year after.
Yeah, they got swept in the first
round. Yeah, and then I just don't think you could do that again.
Fair enough.
Like, I hear you, and by all accounts, that happened. Mm-hmm. And I think the remark was they left a meeting. LeBron leaves a meeting with Pat. And says something along the lines of, you don't ever get the urge or the itch or something
sneaky,
like that.
Bro.
I get it.
Pat, maybe don't fit out and fit in.
Hey, maybe that's it.
But that was tough. That's like seeing Cameron and Jim Jones go at it, man. Those are both my boys, man. Pat Riley and LeBron. So I hate to see them end up in that situation. But Pat Riley seems like a guy. The one thing I can say about him seeing all these situations, it seems like a guy where you're not gonna push around Pat Riley. He don't care who you are.
Yeah, no, that's
so he may accurate. That may be to a detriment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where he can't see past. Oh, we having a match right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, it don't have to be like that, Pat. Mm-hmm. Like, it don't have to be a match. Like, let's figure out what we got to do to win. And Pat's like, no, we having a match, and I don't lose no matches. And he'll just do whatever. So that seems to be kind of his MO. That's my. He's not my GOAT because Jerry West is the GOAT. But and then Sam Presti's probably second. But then,
man, I was looking at that earlier. I was like, when do we start having this conversation? The answer is not yet, not even remotely close. No. But what he's doing right executives? Now is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
What were you thinking?
Well, I was just like, if we're just going overall basketball, just.
I was just thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I was just thinking, like, we're talking about, like, just overall, just. His, like, I don't know, like, Pat's won his coach, all that stuff. Like, Pat is, like, it's not part of, he's bigger than that, I guess.
Well, yeah, and I also look at Pat, maybe
Pat,
not.
Pat, right, Pat's legacy runs through playing, coaching, executives, like, all of that. So it's closer to Jerry's than Jerry West mm-hmm. than anyone could possibly be.
And maybe
anyone
not.
Anyone else could possibly be.
Maybe this is fair. This isn't fair, and it's an assumption on my part. But the Lakers was Jerry West. Even though he was the coach, I feel everything from New York and Miami, he was the coach, but he ran those organizations as well. Pat Riley did.
Yeah.
So he might not technically get executive credit for the New York years in Miami, but he was running everything.
I mean, he was the president for the Heat. I don't know if he was for New York or not, but he definitely was for the Heat. I feel like he was for New York.
But he might have been. He might have been.
Was Pat Riley?
Because I can't think of who
was Pat Riley traded?
Was Grunfeld the GM?
Ernie?
Yeah.
Where'd Ernie go to school?
Tennessee.
My man.
Yeah. There we go. That's a win.
No, that's no. Oh, buddy. Stop. Stop.
Count it.
Who was his teammate?
Bernard King?
My man.
Well, that's two.
Bernie and Ernie.
Count it.
Bernie and Ernie.
Didn't they do a 30
for 30? You get
off
the elevator at the practice facility, and there they are.
Did they do a 30 for 30? I don't know how I know.
Oh, I don't know.
I think
I don't know. I just know him from being there.
Bernard.
Let's see. Pat Riley stepping down. Okay. I was about to ask. Did he get traded? Accepted a job as a television commentator for NBC. Oh, that was glorious for those that remember that. Before being named the head coach of the New York Knicks.
What did he was traded from LA to New York or New York to Miami?
New York to Miami, I feel like.
Miami, he resigned via fax and then took off.
You mean
Miami.
New York? Yeah,
yeah
New York.
He resigned,
yep,
yeah.
That's
he did.
Correct.
He kind of walked out on him.
Yep.
I remember that.
Yep.
I remember the outrage. from that.
So this is why we thought it was a trade. It caused a problem. Miami screen, New York screamed tampering, so the Heat had to send their 1996 first round pick.
They won that
to the Knicks. Yep, and $1 million in cash.
Oh man,
yeah.
Maybe I'm making this up as well.
No, you've done that a few times today.
Wasn't the rap on Pat Riley on NBC was he was a little too real? Did you ever hear
as
that?
As an announcer?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember.
Like he was a little too critical of these people.
I don't remember. Well, it's funny to think that Riles was an announcer on NBC and he didn't call the finals?
I thought he did.
Oh, did he?
I think it was Marv, Magic, and Pat Riley.
Oh,
or
okay.
I remember seeing him there. He might have been on the with Bob Costas.
Okay.
But I remember seeing him around.
Okay, because I don't whose game is it? It's Michael Jordan's game. I don't
Magic
remember where
just
Pat
stepped
Riley
all
came
over
in
Pat Riley. And Pat remember, was like, I'm out of here.
I don't remember Pat Riley came into play in all of this.
Pat Riley said, I'm out of here. Magic stepping all over my call here.
I don't want this day to go without mentioning the Detroit Pistons.
Mm.
I'm acting like the Pistons have died and we're going to pay remembrance to them. The Pistons have won 8 straight. They beat the Celtics last night. They're 33-26. Last year, this was a 14-win basketball team. Mm. The year prior, they were a 17-win basketball team. They haven't made the playoffs since the 2018-19 season. They've made the playoffs twice in the last 15 years.
I don't think they have a win in those 15 years either. Like a playoff
I think they've
win.
Been swept in both. Yeah.
I think it's been like a decade since their last playoff win.
Milwaukee was one.
Cleveland was another.
Was Cleveland the other?
Yeah.
They landed on the draft pick, right? That you know, we could debate their other picks. They landed on the pick, though, and that's Cade. And they got somewhat aggressive with their cap money. Tobias Harris, Malik Beasley. Like, they went out and they signed guys that they thought would be helpful to this group. And I just think it's an interesting thing to look at. Again, this was a team that won 14 games last year. 17 the year before. This was a team, by the way, that Trankson Langston, this is his first year, Trajan Langston. Yeah. This is his first year as the general manager. Troy Weaver, I think, was before him.
Yep.
They fired the coach that they made the richest coach, you know, in contract form, like ever they, after 1 year.
It's crazy.
And then they went and got the ultimate interim coach.
Yeah.
They hired J.B. Bickerstaff, who had just come off a stint in Cleveland, where they decided there's only so far we can get with J.B. Bickerstaff as our coach. The job looked untouchable. Like, no one wants this job. And here they are at 33-26. And I don't know what the point in any of this is. Because
it's amazing.
The Kings aren't going to get the number one pick. You know, we've questioned their front office. We wonder if you know what this front office or another front office or whatever will do in terms of Doug Christie as the head coach. But we laughed at the. I remember good for Tobias Harris. I remember that was go get that money, baby, get that money. And then here he is again on a 33. This is a playoff team, legit playoff, not a play-in team. This is a playoff team right now. This is a team that was not expected to be in the conversation, extenuating circumstances, but still, as Orlando, right? Orlando was next. Now you're looking at Detroit. Like I don't know how many years you have of this Detroit team. I know you got a lot of years of Cade, but if you get smart and aggressive with signing guys like Tobias Harris, knowing maybe when it's time to move on from them, signing guys like Malik Beasley, knowing when it's time to move on from them, maybe that's another way of building your team, right? The tough part is this goes back to the OKC conversation. This goes back to the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander conversation. You had the guy. They have a guy. It just, you have to have someone. And they have someone that we can build everything around. And as much as, you know, I look at this Kings team and try to figure out ways that you can make things work, listening to what you were saying yesterday or the day before about, well, you know, they don't have to bottom out next year. You know, here's a way that it could go on forward. I don't feel like this team has the guy. And that's where I just keep getting stuck when I look at this team long term. Again, that doesn't have anything to do with what we hope to happen this year. Truth be told, it might not have anything to do with what we hope happens next year. But at some point, you've got to find your guy. Cleveland found their guy. They had good players there. They had really good players there. They found their guy. That was Donovan. You look around, obviously Denver, Oklahoma City. You know, maybe people will debate Memphis a little bit. You know, the one exception might be Houston. I don't know who the guy is on Houston.
Figure that out.
The Houston might be Ime. As stupid as that might sound, they are taking on the personality of their head coach. Houston or might be an
guy,
exception.
Their guy might not be ready yet. Amin might be their guy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's a great call
I think
right there.
The Kings, it kind of blew up for them once they realized their guy didn't
wasn't the guy.
Yeah, wasn't the guy and didn't want to be there. Like, that's kind of when it ended.
And that's the thing. Like, if De'Aaron was still here, I would feel the same way. I don't think the Kings have the guy. Because De'Aaron has shown, like, he's a guy. He's a really, really good one. But I don't think he's that.
One of the toughest parts about what the Kings have been building over the last few seasons is that we realized, like, yeah, you were building it around, like, twos. Rather than guys you thought were franchise.
Right. Like, it was never going to be what everybody... Like, that's where I get kind of caught up with people saying, like, oh, even the front office, you didn't take the next step. Like, you probably weren't going to... I was wrong. I'm saying that and thinking that they could myself. Yeah. But you probably weren't with these guys. They're not those type of guys. You know what I thought about? I thought about you last night, D'Lo, watching the Kings game. And I think we've seen enough to know we're never going to get to this point. But I thought about what you would always used to say about De'Aaron Fox. And be like, I don't think De'Aaron Fox knows how good he is and what he could be. And I know this sounds crazy. I kind of had that thought with Zach LaVine. I'm like, does Zach LaVine really understand how good he could be? Is he afraid? Like, now we start talking about psychological stuff. Is he afraid of it? Because think about it.
I think being afraid of success is a very real thing.
He's got it all.
Yeah.
Look at him as a basketball player. He's got the height. He can shoot. He's athletic. He's fast. He can dribble. He's almost what you would draw up as a basketball player. Does he, and the reason why I say it might be, we might have our answer, because he's been in the league 10 years. Like, we know this isn't a young guy.
Yeah.
But you could even look at it in hindsight. Did he ever really understand how good he could be? Because he's got it all. Like, having all the tools and being able to put it together, those are two different things. I completely understand that. But physically and talent-wise, somebody find a negative in his game. Like, he has it all.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll never see, like, maybe all he could be. But I thought about that last night. And hearing you talk about Cade and having the one, it feels like Zach LaVine in another universe could have been a one for somebody. Like, so, he's got it all.
You know what the funny thing, that this isn't true, I think, just for the league. This could be true for sports. This could be true for life. I think there are a lot more people like that than we realize. I think there are a lot of people who, like, we marvel over guys like Kobe Bryant and LeBron James because of all of the extra stuff we do. Like, it kind of became a punchline a little bit. But J.J. Watt, like, the same thing, like the extra steps that they go to be great. Tom Brady, the extra steps that you go to be the best. We know all these guys by name without thinking. Lightning quick, Michael Jordan, Tim Grover. Like, we think about that stuff. We know Tim Grover because of Michael Jordan. Those are so few and far between. that you look in the league and you wonder how many guys left something on the table. De'Aaron right now, to me, I think De'Aaron is better than De'Aaron thinks he is. Mm. And I'm not sure he's ever going to recognize what he could be in the league. Mm. He'll be a really, really good player mm-hmm. for years to come for San Diego. I don't think he'll ever truly maximize how great he is. Maybe the truth is that maybe that is true for Zach LaVine too. Fact is, though, I think it's true for a lot of players.
Is that next level, though, beyond talent and more mentality?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1,000%.
Yeah, for sure.
It's I know NBA players who would tell you they went and got a workout in, but it literally means they went to the practice facility and shot. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. Like I watched players like I watched how great Kara Lawson became, you know, from her Olympic year into her sixth man of the year with Connecticut. Skylar
Diggins. Yeah,
this is often forgotten because Skylar sucked. Skylar was a super pretty face coming out of college with a ton of attention because Lil Wayne wore her jersey on stage. She stunk. I watched her get better. Like, I know who she trained with. I saw her working out. I saw her desire to be great. Not everyone has that. Mm-hmm. And some people just want to go home to their family.
Yeah.
Some people just want to go to the club. Some people want the lifestyle that the NBA gives them. Some people just don't know how to take that next level. Mm. That might be LaVine. Yeah. Might be De'Aaron.
And you do just enough to get paid handsomely and put up numbers and all mm-hmm. this other stuff. And
no one's ever going to say you're bad.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Some people might say you're popcorn or whatever. whatever. I can't remember what line Trista used the other day.
I think it was pop or it's gum, bubble gum.
Bubble gum. Yeah. He's got bubble gum buckets.
I thought about that last night, though, when just looking at LaVine play, man. I was like, he's got it all. But I think we might already pass the point where he can maximize that.
And we've passed the point where this show can continue. We have to leave. Jesse's making us end it. We'll run it back next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, anybody.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.